Welcome to Job Tales, the podcast where you find dozens of interviews and learn about your potential future favorite job. Tyler Spangler is a graphic artist, but the title does not do justice to the full depth of his job. And to explain what I mean, I will simply let Tyler speak for himself. Tyler Spangler, you are, I believe, an amazing person, an artist. I would say, like, to summarize who you are, although it's very, very limiting, of course, I would say you're a graphic artist. But can you say in a nutshell what you do in the artist world?
I create digital artworks for brands, bands, individual people, and myself that are very colorful, psychedelic, mainly collage, sometimes typographic.
I looked at your LinkedIn profile, which is where I go often. You know, I use LinkedIn a lot. And then what caught my attention is the about section. And then there's four lines. It says psychology grad, art school dropout, ran punk venue for 13 shows, and then clients, Adobe, Chanel, Coach, Facebook, Hermes, Instagram, Nike, and Starbucks. So that says it all. And of course, it shows that you have had quite a full life and you've done a lot of things. So where did you start? Like, where did your path and career start?
My career in art started in, I'd say, right after I dropped out of art school. So I dropped out after a year, because the private art schools in the United States are extremely expensive. And I figured that I could better use that money as a cushion to support myself while starting a freelance business, as opposed to putting it towards tuition and starting in the hole after graduation. So I did that. And my girlfriend at the time and I moved to Los Angeles, where she was going to school. So at that point, we had a little bit of savings. So I was able to use that as a cushion. And I basically started cold emailing clients my portfolio with the hope of getting some freelance work. Because at the time, I didn't have any clients. But I did have a big body of work that I made prior to going to art school, just as like trying to like sharpen my skills and explore different styles. So yeah, that's how it started.
You created already like a portfolio based on your artwork that you did beforehand. And was it always a talent / passion of yours?
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I was little in elementary school, I would send in artworks to like video game magazines. They had like little art competitions that they would do in the magazines based off like different video games. And I would draw like whatever the prompt was, and then mail it in to see if I could like win, I don't know, like a free subscription to the magazine or something. And that was in elementary school. And I remember doing the same thing with like surf companies, because I was really into like surfing and skating.
Okay.
So I would like draw just random stuff and then mail it into magazines in hopes to like, I don't even know what I was hoping to get, but just to like be in contact with the people that I looked up to.
Did you get any response back then?
No one responded. No. Okay. But it still felt cool, like sending it in. So
yeah, and that didn't demotivate you from trying again.
It actually made me want to like keep doing it.
Okay,
so I was like, maybe if I just get it just right, maybe they'll get back to me or something like that. But I don't know if that was a good plan. But it kept me motivated. So I guess that's all that matters.
The part about let me go back to the LinkedIn, the punk venue. Where does that fit into, you know, between when you were at elementary school drawing and today?
So that was wedged in between graduating college for psychology and going to art school. So there was a period in there that I kind of had like, I came to a crossroads where after graduating, I realized I didn't want to continue my education in psychology and go into that field, which I still really like the field, and I like a lot of things about it, but I wasn't really wanting to like devote my life to it. I was like also just way more interested in art and music and stuff. So I figure, I don't know, maybe I could incorporate like what I learned in psychology moving forward in like a different field. So it didn't really apply in like in the music scene, but I was just exploring the idea of like booking bands and kind of like creating a space I rented out a warehouse in Orange County to like put on shows, because there just wasn't very many places to play for bands that weren't established. like younger bands and stuff. So yeah, I was working at a surf shop and I was living at home, so I didn't really have any expenses. So I was just saving money and eventually rented a warehouse that I found on Craigslist for a couple months. I think I paid like 3 months up front because I didn't really have like credit or like a cosigner or anything. I was like, I don't know how old I was, maybe like 22 or 23 at the time. And they did it. And yeah, I booked a lot of my friends' bands played there, and then touring bands that came in, mainly like punk and kind of just like experimental bands.
Did it work? I mean, those 13 shows, did they go through successfully? And it was
They were fun.
Full house.
Yeah. I mean, I charged $5 at the door, and then like pretty much whatever I made, I would try and give the bands, and then put a little bit towards like a collection that would go towards like continuing the rent.
Okay.
Yeah, the first show was like really packed because everyone was super excited. There just wasn't any places to play, and then like, oh wow, someone like opened up a warehouse. Looks like I'll show up. So the first show was great. The first couple shows were great. And then it started to get kind of, people were like drinking a lot, like outside. And like, it was in like a industrial district. So like a lot of people weren't there at night as far as like neighboring businesses, but people were like drinking and like breaking bottles and stuff. And I don't know, someone called the police, and yeah, that's when it, that was the end of it. But it took about 3 weeks for that to happen. But in those 3 weeks, there was like, I don't know, 13 shows, 14 shows, something like that. I tried to do like a show like almost every night if I could.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So when you were talking about art and psychology, was it in parallel that you were studying?
No. No, I was just doing like a general bachelor's of a psychology. Okay. I didn't do any art related stuff while I was at college with the degree, but I was doing it on the side. Like I was drawing on my surfboards and making flyers for like bands that I would go on to book at the venue and stuff. But yeah, I was doing that on the side, and I was always just like drawing in class and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's not for me, because psychology, I mean, if I look at your artwork, I believe there's quite some psychology behind as well. And do you find that it has helped, you know, studying psychology, even though you didn't finish it?
I don't overtly try and incorporate it like while I'm making artwork, but I would assume that it definitely has impacted like the way that I think about what I'm making, because I mean, it's like, it's basically like what I spent the most time intensely studying besides art. So I think it definitely has influenced my artwork. And also like just looking back at like the different famous people in psychology, and like sometimes if I'm looking for ideas or something, I'll go back and like read some work by like famous psychologists and see if that kind of gives me any ideas.
You know, well, the reason why I'm asking all these questions is, of course, because what I am intrigued in your profile and your career, let's call it this way, is the, you know, the non-linear aspect. And this is to encourage the listeners, you know, whether they're young or they're in their, you know, midlife crisis and feel stuck and don't know how to change, that there's always ways to find your way. And then starting psychology doesn't mean that you have, you know, end up working in psychology, but it can open up new ways and new avenues. You know, the punk bands and having a venue to run, and then working in a surf shop. I think, you know, you have been very experimental yourself with your life, and now you do it with your artwork, and having this fil rouge of being very artistic and being passionate. So I'm curious to learn how you perceive your own path. Has it been easy, difficult, straightforward, curvy, still in the making? Tell me more.
I mean, at times it's stressful with being freelance, because there's no guaranteed paycheck, especially in the beginning. It's a little bit scary, but I think as long as there's a cushion, like somewhat of a cushion, and you're not going to like end up on the streets or like living in your car or something, then I think it's really beneficial. And like the payoff is really nice if you can make it work to do something that's like maybe a little more risky compared to like a conventional job working for like a company. Because like both of my parents worked for like the same company for pretty much their whole lives. And I don't know, it just didn't really seem that interesting to me. I didn't enjoy it. The only job I really enjoyed was working at the surf shop. I worked at like a pizza place. I worked at like a grocery store, surf instructor. And like, none of those things were really, I mean, those aren't really careers, but like I just didn't like working for a big company, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked seeing the amount of effort that I put into something be returned to me, as opposed to like me putting in an effort and seeing it returned to someone else. Like working for someone, you know, like I want to get the fruits of my labor. I don't want my hard work to like line someone else's pockets, you know?
Okay. Yeah. And do you find that being an entrepreneur in art is harder than an entrepreneur in other fields?
I think they're really similar. I think the one difference though is art is so subjective. So it's not as simple as like, oh, I have a great product. It's going to get sold and it's going to get bought. Like you could be an amazing artist and have such a like niche specificity and like the style of art that you create that it's going to be like ignored by a majority of the people, but the people that do love it are going to absolutely be obsessed with it. So
yeah.
I just think that it's a little bit different with art because it is so subjective with what is good and what is not. It's just different based on every, you know.
And for you, when you were talking about payoff, what is the payoff for you in your business today?
Freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom with my time, with who I want to work with how much I want to work, with where I'm able to live. Since I work from home, I can live wherever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, yeah, just how I want to live my life. I'm able to shape my life the way I want, as opposed to shaping it around something that has to be there, like a job in a location or like a, I don't have to like fit the mold of where I'm employed.
Can you work from anywhere, like as a digital nomad?
Yeah. I mean, my wife is in the medical field. She's a doctor. So her path, like we met when she was in college, like community college. So like her career has taken her all over. Like we've moved probably like 6 or 7 times in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's just really good coincidence that I have this career, because otherwise finding jobs in different locations that often would be kind of insane. So that's kind of reinforced my belief that this career path is really relevant. I think maybe for today's job climate and the way the world is, I think that it's kind of cool to be very nimble.
You know, I look at the names that are very impressive, you know, the clients that you have, you know, Hermes, Gucci, the United Nations, Adobe, etc. Did you knock at their door just like this, saying, okay, let's see, and just email them? Or did you know somebody there? It's like, how did you find your way in?
In the beginning, I emailed all of those companies and never heard anything for years and years and years. The only people that I would hear back from were like smaller brands, like really small brands, or like bands, like smaller bands, like smaller surf companies, just stuff like that. And then I feel like just linearly, as time went on and I got more clients, they kind of started getting bigger and bigger over time. Like each client, it's almost like bigger companies are more willing to take a chance with you if you kind of like have a reputation already, if you don't have an in with like a contact. So like if you've worked for so-and-so, then it'll probably be easier to get a job with like a more reputable company. So at least in my opinion, I don't know, this might be different for other people, but it felt like as the snowball grew, starting from like a little piece of ice when I first started getting like this for my first like little surf shop or a little surf company, I got like a t-shirt graphic. They bought it for like a couple $100. And then over the years, I just got like bigger clients and bigger clients and bigger clients.
And that was through word of mouth, or?
I'm really not sure. I probably should ask this, but I never say, oh, how'd you hear about me or something. But from what people have told me, that they've just seen my work on like Instagram and social media, because I make new work every day and post it on there. So just through it getting spread around online, I'm sure it's gotten in front of people that have worked for those companies and they've filed it away, I'm assuming.
And you think that social media has helped you to get known?
Absolutely. I don't really know how I would have done it otherwise, like maybe mail portfolios, but that would get extremely expensive.
And what media in particular do you think that have been particularly helpful?
I would say most of my jobs have been for collage work, just like digital collages for ad campaigns or social media artwork for the company. Recently, around COVID, my typographic pieces have been really popular.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's just a combination, but mainly collage, like collaging with the products that they're selling or stuff like that, just advertisements.
And in terms of social media, the ones, you know, to promote your art, what would you say is the best mix for you?
It's interesting. Social media really favors my typographic pieces. I don't know, the algorithm seems to push that one a little bit better. Yeah. Yeah, those get the most traction, I've noticed. But it's interesting because it's kind of easy to fall into like a trap of like, oh, this is what's popular on social media, I'm only going to make this, because that's not representative of like the jobs that I've gotten over my career. Like the ratio of typographic to like other styles of artwork that I make. So yeah, I have to be mindful of, to keep it balanced, like do patterns, do collages, do illustrations, not just type, because that's what Instagram likes. So
So I have another question, because I see now 11 social media that I have on that you have actually on your website. Now, some I don't even know, but you know, I see Twitter, I see LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and so forth. Is that a lot of work for you to follow all this and to, you know, to put content and to nurture it? Is it worth it? How do you work with all this?
I just post and leave. I don't really spend time on any of the social media apps, to be honest. Like I make the artwork and then I format it to whatever size. I usually just work in like 13 by 19 inches. It's like a pretty general, like portrait landscapes or portrait size. And I'll just make the artwork and then open up every social media and post it immediately after I make the artwork. So, and then I just leave it. I don't do anything else to it. And I don't really browse it. So I save my time and energy for just making the artwork and stuff like that.
And now in hindsight, because it's been now what, how many years that you've been living off of your art?
I moved out and started freelancing full-time like middle of 2013. So yeah, okay. exactly 10 years.
10 years. Wow. Amazing. And, you know, looking back those 10 years, what would you say were the hardest times, if at all?
I would say right in the beginning, it was the hardest, but also the most exciting, because everything was new and every job that I got was like a milestone. So it was, and plus our cost of living was a lot cheaper back then, just because everything was cheaper back then, but also we have two kids now. So
yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I would get a job, like every job, not every job that I get would be bigger than the one before, but when you start so small, like any small success is like a part, is like a huge accomplishment. So it was just a lot more exciting back then, but also the fear of like, okay, if I don't make this much money over this amount of time, then I don't know how we're going to pay the rent. So there was always that fear, but that fear was exciting in a way.
Okay,
it was scary, but it was also like, it made it like the risk of it made it,
it was
like
a driver.
Yeah. It was exciting. It's like, okay, if I don't like sit down and email like 100 companies today, like we might have to move in with our family, or if
we don't have a
take
dinner.
Us, or like, yeah, it's like kind of a, yeah.
Okay. Has it been a balance between you and your wife? Like she would have a job and you would be exploring, experimenting?
She was in school the entire time. She's in residency now, but she's been in residency for a year now. So
okay.
I mean, I was the sole earner for 9 years. So
I see. Okay. So it was, I mean, you had to get some answers from those 100 emails.
Yeah. And if I didn't get answers, I would keep emailing new companies. Yeah. I would like find ad agents. I'd look for lists of ad agencies in every major city and then make a PDF document of it on my computer and just email them.
Yeah.
I don't know, every couple weeks, be like, hey, like I made some new work. Like, kind of I might have been super annoying to some people, but
yeah. And this is something that not everybody can do, because to be annoying, like you say, but it's simply to be an entrepreneur and to be a salesman, because you're selling your art, you're selling your product. And is it natural for you?
No, I'm like really bad at negotiating and money and stuff like that. I'm pretty like passive person. I'm pretty shy.
Okay.
Normally, so I'm just excited to like get a job. And like if a company's like, hey, do you want to work? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then when like, I don't know, I'm usually just like, I kind of wish I had a person that would be like, he takes this much money. Like, some tough person that like negotiates for me. But
okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an advice, recommendation or suggestion to you, to whoever is listening today?
I think it's important to understand like your personality and what you value and what like aligns with your nature, the nature of like who you are in a way. Because like if you're a person that really values like stability and predictability, then obviously freelance is going to be a very stressful career for you. And I don't know, it would be the best fit. But if you like excitement and risk, but also being able to like control everything, like I do, I don't have anyone that works for me or anything. I do like everything. So I like just having complete control over everything. So yeah, I think freelance is really awesome. Or just being an entrepreneur or like a self-employed, I guess, is like a really awesome thing. As long as you're willing to, you kind of get what you put in a sense. Okay. I mean, some of it is a little bit luck, because whether the person that you're trying to work with is ready at that moment to work with you, it's kind of like luck based in a way. Because sometimes, like say this year, they don't have any jobs for you, but like if you would have emailed them 3 months earlier, they could have had like a big job that would be perfect fit. So I guess just not getting discouraged if people say no, or if you're not getting jobs right away and stuff like that, just know that it's like pretty random in a way, right? But as long as you're consistent, then
they may say yes in 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. If I have like a PDF of like all the people I've ever worked with.
Really?
Yeah, I email them every couple of months just to check in and say what's up until they remember me.
Okay.
And yeah, so I think just
that's being a good
really,
idea.
Yeah, just being really organized and consistent is like the key.
Okay, super. Thank you very much. These are precious advice. And I'll be happy to follow you on Instagram and all your websites. It's amazing work you're doing. And thank you so much for sharing your life experience with me on my mic.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I don't really get to talk about it that much. So when the opportunity arises, I'm excited about it.
Find many more jobs coming up on Job Tales. Stay tuned and spread the word. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Just tap Job Tales Podcast. It's TALES and all one word. See you next week.